Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from Psalm 23. I'll read that in just a few moments. To you who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love are yours in abundance. Amen. Just this past week, I got back into town, into Phoenix, landed at the Sky Harbor Airport, and I was not positive that we had gotten on the right flight. Some of that was because of all the travel delays that had been plaguing the entire airline industry, especially Southwest. Throughout our trip, we didn't have a single flight that was on time. One didn't even leave on the right day. But the real reason was that when we arrived, the temperature and the humidity was not what I was accustomed to finding in Phoenix. Phoenix, especially in the summer, is one of those cities that greets you even on the jetway. You can't miss that rush of hot, dry air, but it wasn't there when we arrived. In fact, it was cooler than where we had left in Texas. And we've been blessed this week and this weekend with a lot of rain. After a couple of very dry years, it was quite refreshing to receive rain from our Heavenly Father who blesses us with all good things. This morning, that same Lord God blesses us with the refreshment that has been renowned for generations, has refreshed and renewed people from crib to coffin, right? The refreshment of the green pastures and quiet waters that can only be found in the word of our Lord. God's word for our faith development this morning is familiar. From Psalm 23. And there are a few chapters in the scriptures that are better known or more cherished. This has, along with John 10, helped inspire beautiful hymns like I Am Jesus' Little Lamb and brought unimaginable comfort to those who are taking their last breaths. I want to read for you now Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word for us, God's people. The Lord is my shepherd. It's such a simple statement. It rolls off of our lips. But what is implied by this simple statement is not something that we're always on board with. If the Lord is my shepherd, that implies that I am a sheep. Now, it's not that we can never connect the dots between people and sheep. We call timid people sheep. Gullible people are given that moniker as well. People that go with the flow have been dubbed as having a herd mentality. And over the last 5 or 10 years, sheeple has become an increasingly popular insult for people who seem to be easily influenced, overly compliant, or just don't see things the way that I do. Our world has no problem connecting the dots between sheep and people. We just don't ever see ourselves as sheep, do we? While we know that we ought to say the Lord is my shepherd, we rarely actually think, talk, and act like this is true, and especially best for us. More often than not, we live like the Lord is our remote supervisor, rather than our ever-present shepherd. More often than not, we talk as if the Lord is our spiritual advisor, rather than the only one who can lead us to where we need to go and be. More often than not, we think as if the Word of God, the one place that the Lord communicates with us directly, is like the GPS on your phone. It knows a way to get to where you are going, but you know a few other paths, don't you? How many times don't you look at what's happening around you and decide, as if you were in traffic, that you're just going to take another route because what you're being told to do doesn't seem quite right to you. We tend to think that we can handle things when they're thrown our way. We know we can't control everything, but we're pretty confident that we can take care of ourselves, and we're not alone in this misguided thinking, in living like we can be our own shepherds. In fact, the Old Testament is filled with men who made their living off of sheep, who often lived as if they were their own shepherds. Abraham, Moses, and David. Now, it's not that they never followed the Lord's direction for their lives, but in critical and especially stressful moments, times when they thought they were walking through the darkest valleys and surrounded on all sides by their enemies, they thought, spoke, and acted like the Lord wasn't there to shepherd them. As the Lord led Abraham through Canaan, there were critical moments when Abraham acted as if the Lord was not with him. When a famine forced him and his family to go to Egypt to find food, Abraham feared that his wife Sarah's beauty would lead the Pharaoh to kill Abraham so that he could have Sarah as his wife. So he told Sarah to just say that she was his sister, because he was afraid. Abraham was convinced the only way to spare his own life was the path of deceit. Not only is deceitfulness utter sin, but the Lord had also given a promise guaranteeing Abraham's safety. Genesis 12:1, God said to him, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." But Abraham struggled to trust the Lord's direction and promise. He repeated this lie again when he was living among the Gerarites and King Abimelech. And do you know what his excuse was the second time? "There's surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife." In fact, Abraham admits to manipulating his wife into repeating this lie everywhere they went, and almost seems to backhandedly blame God for putting him in this situation. Genesis 20, verse 13, Abraham said, "When God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Don't you and I do the same? I don't mean claiming that our spouse is nothing more than a sibling, but aren't there moments that are far more familiar and even far less stressful when we choose a path of deceit and dishonesty rather than the right paths the Lord our shepherd guides us along? We bend the truth at work because it makes us look a little better to a higher up. We stretch the truth with a friend so that we are cast in a more favorable light. We fabricate details and entire events in an attempt to justify our shameful behavior, or sometimes just to look better to a complete stranger. Like Abraham, we choose a path of deceit and dishonesty, acting as if we are our own shepherd. Moses struggled in much the same way. Despite growing up in the affluence of the home of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses loved his own people, the Israelites, zealously. And when he saw one of his own being mistreated by an Egyptian slave driver, he took matters into his own hand, striking the slave driver down. Moses knew it was wrong. Exodus 2, verse 12 tells us that he made sure that no one was looking before he did it. Moses went with his gut instead of God's law that had been imprinted upon his heart. How many times don't you and I directly disobey the consciences and the law that God has written on our hearts? Like Moses, we are often driven by our emotions too. When we're sad, we lash out at those who are merely trying to help us. When we're envious, we tear down those who have been blessed by the Lord. When we are angry, we shoot off our mouths and then offer flimsy excuses after the fact. David struggled to not live like his own shepherd too. He may be the most famous shepherd in all of the Old Testament, yet there are plenty of examples when David went his own way and ignored the guidance that the Lord was giving him. There was that spring evening when kings typically led their troops in battle, but David stayed home in his palace. That night, the cravings of his sinful flesh led to an affair with his close friend's wife. That was bad enough. But David's sins often came with compounding interest. Time and again in David's life, we see him trying to finesse his way out of trouble. When Bathsheba, his close friend's wife, sent word that she had become pregnant, David sent for her husband, Uriah. He tried to make it look like the child was Uriah's. Later on, when that didn't work, he sent him off to be killed in battle. Sometime later, when David's son Amnon lusted after his half-sister and eventually raped her, David tried to sweep the whole matter under the rug. When his other son Absalom murdered his half-brother Amnon out of vengeance because his father wouldn't do anything about the situation, David was moved to mourn, but not do much else. When that same son Absalom tried to take David's throne, David refused to actually deal with his son head on. We see again and again that David was a man who struggled to deal with his own sin and the sins of his loved ones. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? How many times don't we try to minimize our own wickedness? How many times don't we do damage control without even a thought of doing repentance? How frequently don't we turn a blind eye to the sins of our loved ones because we're afraid of the fallout from a relationship or a fight? Now, you and I shouldn't be surprised that Abraham, Moses, and David chose to go their own way and follow these wrong paths. We shouldn't be surprised that men who made their living off of sheep struggled at times to see themselves as sheep. But that is what we are. The Holy Scriptures tell us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. You see, the way that people are most like sheep is not that we are overly compliant, overly gullible, or too easily influenced by other people. The way that you and I are most like sheep is that we think we know better than God. We think we know the way that things ought to be done. We think we know the right path. We think we can handle things ourselves. We think we can take care of ourselves. Fundamentally, that is what every sin is, you and I ignoring the Lord's leading, you and I thinking that we are equipped and called to be our own shepherds, you and I straying from the right paths that God directs us on, and when that happens, it only ever ends one way. The more we wander on our own, the further we stray from our shepherd. Lost sheep become lunch. Lost sinners stand condemned unless the shepherd steps up. That's what this psalm shouts from the rooftops. David, the shepherd, had come to realize that he could not shepherd himself. He could not find the green pastures and the quiet waters that his soul needed. Instead, David, the shepherd king, found comfort in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, serving as his own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he proclaimed. Such a simple statement, but there's so much more there than meets the eye at first. We must recognize that typically people were relegated to serve as shepherds. This wasn't something that someone aspired to be. It wasn't a promotion to be named a shepherd. And when you look at the lives of Abraham, Moses, and David, you see that that's true too. Now, we don't know what Abraham's vocation was before he left Ur, but being a nomad, a foreigner in a land that was not his own, forced him to rely on sheep and cattle for his livelihood. Moses became a shepherd because he had to flee Egypt after killing that slave driver, and David was the family shepherd, it seems, because he was the youngest. When Samuel came to anoint the next king, David seems to be an afterthought, even in his own family. That's because there's nothing glorious or glamorous about shepherding in our eyes. Spending every moment, day and night, rain or shine, with a flock of finicky and foolish, silly and stinky sheep. Can you look at this psalm through that lens with me? The Lord, who is maker and preserver of all life on earth, has chosen to spend his time shepherding foolish sinners like you and me. Yet there is no hint of resentment or discontentment in the Lord. Rather, in humility, the Lord values us above himself. And you see that in where he leads his sheep. It's not to sandy beaches, but to green pastures. Not to where the food is good and the drinks are cold, but to where the waters are quiet. He doesn't give his sheep a roadmap and tell them, hey, you figure it out. No, he leads them. He guides us. He goes with me. He knows how finicky and foolish each of us are. So he goes after us when we stray. He wields his rod to separate us from the trouble our sinfulness has led us into. His staff draws us closer to his side, and it is because of this we are comforted. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It is Jesus' own application of this analogy that gives us the fullest picture of what it means for the Lord to be my shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The Lord is that shepherd. The Lord lays down his life for his sheep because he cares for his sheep. This is why we are comforted and refreshed. This is why our cup overflows. This is why we can say we lack nothing. Because the Lord is our shepherd, and he lays down his life for us, his sheep. And this was not some heat-of-the-moment decision either. No, Jesus willingly, even joyfully planned to come and save us. The Lord sought out lost sheep, those who had wandered from God's right paths and pierced themselves with all kinds of grief and suffering. The Lord gently tends to the wounds of sinners. He nourishes his famished flock back to health. Then the Lord, our shepherd, took our iniquities upon himself, and they crushed him. He was stricken and afflicted for our sins. Because of our waywardness and rebelliousness, he suffered physically, mentally, and spiritually. The Lord of all power and wisdom became weak and was mocked so that your soul might be restored. The head of the Lord of glory and honor was pierced with a crown of thorns so that your head could be anointed by the Lord himself. The Lord of all power and might drank the cup of God's righteous wrath against sin so that your cup might overflow with God's goodness and love. It took the Son of God going through hell for us that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of Jesus, God's goodness and his love overflows in your life, all because the Lord is your shepherd. And the Lord is your shepherd, even today. Day after day, he leads you into the green pastures of his word and the quiet waters of your baptism. He knows what your soul desperately needs, the refreshment that only comes after having your sins confronted head on and forgiven fully. He does this painstaking work day after day with every single one of us. And he guides us along the right paths because a shepherd's reputation is tied to the health of his flock. I mean, think about it. You can't be a good shepherd if your sheep are gone, sick, and malnourished. A good shepherd must have a good flock, and yet God has chosen to make his name known in and through us, the church, the people that follow his guidance. What a blessing to have a God who loves us and cares for us and guides us day by day. He gives us his word, the Ten Commandments, to show us the right paths for the sake of his name, the paths of righteousness and honor, the paths that bring glory to his name. But he also leads us through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. There are times where we feel surrounded by evil, pressed hard on every side by death itself. But even in those frightening moments, we need not fear, for the Lord is with us. His presence, his power, and his wisdom comfort us because we know what he has already done for us. So we can trust what he is doing for us now because we know where he is ultimately leading us. The Lord is my shepherd. And so I proclaim with David, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Your goodness and love follows me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.